Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. This show is also sponsored by reclaimingtherepublic.org. And as you probably already know, and those who are just beginning to listen to this show, you are listening to the only show on air that asserts a constitutional solution to getting the general government back into the framework of the Constitution. Many of you already know, and some of you who are just tuning in may not know, that this show is actually dedicated in supporting getting the constitutional state legislators elected and into the state legislative bodies so that they can exercise their authority in stopping federal tyranny. And the process that we have is we get them to commit via a pledge. And as these men and women pledge to commit to the Constitution and commit to auditing the Constitution, then we will help them. And as you know, I will ask you to contribute to their campaign, whether that be $2, $5, whatever you can afford. But that's how we get these people in getting them over the finish line. Because as you know, in the presidential elections, there's millions, actually, I think the last one, there was billions of dollars spent in the state, local, especially these red state, local state legislator and Senate seats. We're probably talking a couple thousand dollars most for the filing and for the advertising campaign budget. So your contributions is like millions of dollars being poured into a billion-dollar race. It is that substantial. And so this show is also dedicated in supporting those county and those legislative district grassroots leaders who are out there trying to protect their brand and trying to establish your party as the party of the Constitution and as your party that is about restoring our constitutional republic, little r republicanism, and getting that federal government back into the framework of the Constitution. So what does this mean? This show is actually committed to supporting those who are willing to sign a commitment in protecting all of us from federal tyranny. And so that's big. And as you know, we're going to get into some of the news. And I know that everybody's talking about, you know, the big grapefruit that dropped out of the IG today. And so, I mean, if you really want to talk about that, by all means, we can talk about that. I will talk about that. I don't necessarily want to bore you, but I know that reading the ratification debates can be boring. But I'm hoping in going through these, because I'm going to read through these things once. So as I read through these different citations, I am creating a mountain of evidence that when they discussed and they debated the Constitution, there was absolute clarity as to how limited and defined the federal government was. But as I'm still at the beginning of the show, let me kind of get through the rest of this diatribe. If you want to call in, the lines are open, and that phone number to call in is 215-867-8255. Or if I want to spell that out for you in an easy to remember way, it is 215-TOP-TALK. TOPTALK or 867-8255. Now, if you want to call in, and by all means, I have the 3C rule. The first one is being confidential. If you know me, please refer to me as GR. The second is be civil. And the third is be concise, because I really only have an hour. And even if I had 3 hours, it's just, there's never enough time, right? I know I can go on and on and on, and I know anybody that starts talking about things that you're passionate about, like politics, religion, and so forth, we can easily consume an hour or two and even three. Believe me, I have a laundry list of people I know I can call, and I can just literally spend a couple of hours on the phone with going through important stuff, but it's very consuming, and so that's why I ask that you be concise. Let me also point out that my podcasts for this show are at reclaimingtherepublic.org, and even more importantly, I have that video, that presentation where I talk about the Constitution and I give you the academic argument on what it's going to take to solve our constitutional crisis. And so if you go to reclaimingtherepublic.org and you go to, on the right-hand side, I have those little buttons. Just go to the Take Action page and then just scroll down a little bit. I have a couple of slides or PDF files, and you can download the slides that I use for this presentation. But right underneath that is a link to the presentation. So by all means, have a party. Invite all your friends. You know, if your kids turn in 8, have a big party for your child that's turning 8 and watch this presentation. This is a great way to help un-indoctrinate your kids into believing that we live in a democracy. And maybe, you know, your kids will help this go viral. Because I don't understand why a video that literally spells out what the true solution is, why this isn't going viral. I don't know, but maybe people think that if they watch this YouTube video that I'm making money, and I don't know. I know that it's not the face. I do have a face for radio, but anyway, let me just move on. I also would grovel a little bit because I would be remiss if I didn't. I need support. I don't necessarily need your money. As a matter of fact, like I started off with, I hope that if you want to contribute to the show, you absolutely can. I'm not going to stop that. However, I ask that you hold on and put some money aside for this coming primary season, this summer, as well as coming up in the fall, because we want to make sure that we get across the finish line constitutional candidates that are going to stand up for our liberty in their state legislators or in their legislative bodies, whether that be the Senate or the representatives or what have you. And I'm just asking that we get those the money that they need so that they can cross that finish line, because it's more important that we have this dialogue. Because if this dialogue can start, if we can get this momentum going, then I can retire or I can go off and do something else. I've got some books that I want to get published and finished so that we can learn what we need to do to unleash our energy potential, how we can take back our education, what we can do about getting rid of the entitlement state and changing our paradigm towards enlightenment, all sorts of stuff. And so instead of just trying to market or get out there and try to get you involved. And so as I always do, let me tell you that I did scan the news and I went through the different sources that I go through every day. And even looking out my window, which I just glanced once again, I see no sign or news that the federal government is disbanding any of its tyrannical roles, responsibilities, and powers. And so what that means is that they're not going to do it, folks. Regardless of how good or how bad it gets, they will not do it. That means that you and I, we're going to have to do it. We're going to have to get this dialogue started in the states, and we're going to have to force the states to do their job. So with that, let's move forward, and that's why this education and this educational show and going through all of these different source documents are critical. So I also have this standing question. Anybody that wants to call in and have this discussion, especially if you don't know me, then you're more than welcome to call so that we can discuss. And as if you do call, I will give you a set of my books. My first book, We the People Whose Constitution Is It Anyway? A Constitutional Fix for a Constitutional Crisis, or Problem, I mean. And the second one is The Strategy to Convene a Convention for Republic Review. And they're both the We the People series. My third book is We the People Reclaiming the Republic. But that one's not published, so you won't get that one. But if you do call in, I'll give you signed copies of both those books, and we can discuss what or where in the Constitution gives the federal government the authority to create and manage land reservations for, whether that be forestry, whether that be for minerals, whether that be for race, culture, animals, you name it. They have all these different reservations out there. A lot of them are indigenous people, Indians, Navajos, or even the Inuits or the Alaskans or Eskimos. Anyway, I'm not trying to throw out political correctness here. I'm just basically saying that there's a lot of reservations for people. But if you really look at the land masses that is being consumed, the majority of the land mass that's being consumed are reservations for forestry, reservations for resources, reservations for environmental purposes. So let's talk about where in the Constitution does the federal government get that authority from the states to create and manage land within their states? Because obviously they're complying with the Constitution, right? It's got to be in the Constitution somewhere. Anyway, Red Pill Expo is next week. It is literally a week from today. They will be airing Dead Man Talking, which is the a good documentary on Lavoie Finicum. And if you go to redpillexpo.org, you can look up the cost of streaming, because it may be a little expensive to try to get on a plane and into a hotel with less than a week to go. Use Griffin, G-R-I-F-F-I-N, for a coupon when you check out, and you should get a savings on that. I will also say that it's $125 to stream the entire event, so $125 for the 3 days, or the one night and 2 days. So check it out, and as you can tell, I'm up at a hard break, so I will be right back after a word from our sponsor and our promos. Thank you so much. Most people resist change, but how would you like to be rewarded in at least two ways for considering a new dentist? Dr. Tracy believes your smile is a reflection upon him, and that is a mutually shared reward between both him and you. Another reward is improving your overall health by working with your dentist like Dr. Tracy and developing a strategy in maintaining your dental health. But how would you like a direct incentive in considering a new dentist? Dr. Tracy and his staff from time to time offer a special referral program. For every new patient you refer who becomes a patient, Dr. Tracy will reward you with $50 off your dental work. Consequently, if you refer five people, that's $250 off your dental work. Give them a call and ask for the details and the availability of the referral program by calling 466-6614 or go to VonTracyDDS.com. Again, that's 466-6614 or sign up at VonTracyDDS.com. I've been on the radio for a couple of years, and for over a decade, I have been providing content to help patriots understand what has to be done if we're going to save our Constitution and our Republic. Not one academic has been able to refute my argument for Republic Review, and even most conservative entertainers will not support Republic Review due to self-interest reasons. If you have not read my bullet point descriptions and executive summaries, you need to, so that you can understand what we all need to do. I'm trying to give patriots the necessary knowledge to take back our Constitution and Republic. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can read my bullet points and view the Republic Review flowchart. You can even order my executive summaries, books, and other content to understand the simplicity of what we have to do. This way, you will know what, why, and how to support the reclaiming of our Republic. Again, please take a look at my content on reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can become a part of the solution. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with Republic Review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as Republic Review. Please read my argument for Republic Review as well as my description of the Republic Review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in. And let's get on with the dialogue. And so I find it interesting. Let me get into some news for you, because I think that apparently we're just stupid. Apparently there's, you know, not enough intelligence in those patriots out here that don't recognize what the heck's going on. Because I find it interesting how the Democrats are going after and suing Trump for the philanthropic business and these types of things. And there wasn't a peep out of any of these, out of the states, attorney generals, and everything else regarding the Clinton Foundation. I don't understand why there hasn't been a thorough fine-tooth comb investigation regarding the Clinton, just the Clinton Foundation. I mean, we're not even talking about the Comey email DOJ IG report yet. I mean, I'm just literally talking about why is it that they're dropping this lawsuit out at this particular time? Is it a coincidence, or is this just another tactic? Because what they love doing is obfuscating the truth. They try to hide what's really going on and trying to get you to sink in your teeth into their little story. Oh, this is terrible that the president of the United States has got this charity or this organization, or he's got this $1 billion net worth and company, and this is just terrible. Well, okay, I can understand why we kind of want to go through the finances and those things of all elected officials, but why now? Why is it that they've all of a sudden obtained moral high ground now when they just completely turned their back? It's just like the Me Too movement. All of a sudden, all of these progressives have gotten the moral courage to step forward and say, look at these bad, immoral politicians. When everybody was silent, when Bill Clinton was running around raping and forcing himself on women, and or whether that be sexual harassment, definitely bad conduct, period. And are we stupid? Or do they really think that we can't put this together? This is why it is important. I'm going to go right back to this auditing concept. Their whole Department of Justice and every single unconstitutional department needs to be audited as we close them down. They're unconstitutional. What needs to happen is that the states need to start setting up their own overwatch, because bottom line, it's just like the internal affairs. And I know I'm going to really insult some good police officers in the internal affairs entities, but you can't tell me that an entity within itself can really truly police itself. You really require an external investigator or internal oversight instead of internal policies and so forth. I think in some cases, internal affairs is, you know, decent. They kind of make sure that people are toting most of the line, but people understand how to bypass these processes. They find back doors, they find collusion, and it doesn't take much, especially when you've got such corruption. The framers were completely aware of the fact that men were corruptible. That's why they created a system that would not allow corruption. That's why the DOJ never existed, and that's why the federal government was only granted powers over very few crimes. Can you cite those crimes? Because we've gone over it before. Treason, piracy on the high seas, right? And counterfeiting. And laws against nations. Technically, there's really only three, and that is the three primaries that occur here in the United States, you know, because piracy's on the high seas, obviously, is in international water, and crimes against laws of nations are crimes that are committed by U.S. citizens in other nations outside of the United States, because the whole intent behind that one particular clause or law was to ensure that the United States had jurisdiction over U.S. citizens in abroad. So the real crimes for, you know, punishing, or the federal government has for enforcing and punishment, is treason and, yes, counterfeiting and, well, I'll let you think about that, because we've covered those before. But the point is that the federal government does not have this all-encompassing power over all laws. The states never gave that to them. The states should create their own oversight and make sure. So just to be clear, they do have their own federal election commission, because they have created statutes and regulations and so forth. I'm telling you that they don't have the authority to do those things without amending the Constitution or without allowing the states to delegate those powers. That's why it's really critical that the federal government behaves within the contract. If there are things that we need to do to fix the contract for federal elections and so forth, then I would say, okay, fine. We can literally go after these couple of things that, you know, whether they be campaign finance or collusion and or what have you. But the point in fact is that they don't have this authority. And so when I told you yesterday, when this whole IG report drops, I want you to keep thinking of the real fact here is that the DOJ really doesn't have any authority over any of this stuff. Now, all of this stuff is immoral. It's unethical. These are crimes that are violating security, like Hillary Clinton having classified information. That is a crime. And I'll even say this before I go down this path, because I think it's really important. If you created a parallel scenario and you made the exact things happen to somebody else that is at a different level, and you expose that person, you just create the facade, but you basically make it based on the exact same circumstances of what Hillary Clinton did with her handlers and her entourage within the DOJ. And I will tell you that if you put this onto a lower level person, that person they'd probably recommend hanging that person, because those crimes are so egregious in the mishandling and the carelessness of the classified information that she was basically throwing out there. And so why was it that that was even allowed? And there's no doubt in my mind that she was doing that because she was skirting the system so that she could get this information into other people's hands. That is why. There's no other reason for it. No other reason for it. And so I'm telling you that if you created a facade and you did this exact same thing for somebody else, they would want to hang that person. And to me, that is duplicity, and that is a double standard where one person at one level is supposed to be above this crime. They're above the law. I don't believe that is the intent, and that's why I believe she needs to be tried. I believe Bill Clinton needs to be tried. And if you go to my podcast page on my local KSBN page, I still have that link to the congressional testimony on Bill Clinton, where they put the time, and this is MSNBC that did this, they put the timeline how Bill Clinton would receive money from China and all of a sudden an accident would occur and they would receive information from Los Alamos or the hard drive on how to basically extract weapon-grade plutonium from, you know, basically uranium and plutonium and so forth. And so how they could develop nuclear weapons, how they could access global targeting and so forth from the Loral Corporation. You go look at that and you can't tell me he wasn't committing treason. He was selling out America just so he could get reelected in 96. And so it is a family of corruption, and the Democrats want to obfuscate the reality that they have got blood all over their hands. They've been selling this nation downriver for so long. And so I just find it interesting that they're suing Trump, and there's not a peep out of the out of anybody, out of any of these high moral ground standing Democrats regarding the Clinton Foundation and regarding the emails, all of these types of things. It's just like they are strictly grandstanding for the purpose of keeping us from focusing on the real criminals and the real corruption. So anyway, I did also notice in the news, because I think this is important, that they're trying to create dress codes at polling places. In other words, they are trying to inhibit and limit political speech on whatever it is you want to wear. And I get it. If you're going to school, that you got to wear the uniform, or you're going to work, you got to wear the uniform. But the polling place is where political speech should not be hindered. I don't care if you want to wear your communist Che LaVar, or I forget the stupid guy's name, but anyway, you can wear whatever communist you want to the polling place. I don't care. We'll be right back after word from our sponsors. Most of my listeners understand the importance in having strategic goals, but do you have a long-term strategy for your dental health? Too many people are only focused on whitening their smile. I understand the appearance of your teeth can give you confidence, but this can risk your future health in only addressing the cosmetics of your teeth, and many dentists will take your money just to do this. They say failing to plan is planning to fail, and if you don't have a long-term strategy for your teeth and dental health, then you need a new dentist. Every dentist provides a dental plan, but Dr. Tracy and his staff develops a strategy to help you maintain and restore your dental health to what it needs to be. To develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health, connect with Dr. Von Tracy, DDS.com. That's VONTRACYDDS.com. So you too can develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health. The reason progressives are effective in instituting their policies is because they are united ideologically, financially, and socially. In addition, almost every billionaire in the world is funding a vast array of different groups, and these groups' efforts are to undermine our republic and our constitution. If you don't believe me, just Google donors to the Open Society Foundations. The only way we're going to successfully combat these efforts and take back our liberties, like our education system, healthcare, state lands, housing, labor, and many other roles, responsibilities and powers that belong to the states, is by you and I and local businesses getting involved in supporting political programs and efforts based on constitutional principles. The best way to do this is supporting result-oriented organizations designed to take back our lost liberties. The ultimate result-oriented effort is Republic Review. So please consider contributing to the show and the organizations and activities that we are supporting by going to reclaimingtherepublic.org and go to the contribution page, and you can become a listed supporter of liberty. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station. That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's, and if you're ready to call in, the lines are open. Now, one of the things that I just find absolutely, I think, funny, ironic, it's a paradox, is how people truly believe that politics is not practiced in the workplace. When people look at the FBI, when they look at anybody in government, apparently if you got a government job, then you have this ability, the kind of clothes you wear, make it impossible for you to become a political operative and a political agent in that position. And so when people start looking at, you know, and Comey is still trying to spin this concept that he was not a political agent for outcome. Excuse me. I have a hard time believing that. And I just find it funny that people really believe that one can really shed their politics. Apparently, they haven't read Aristotle's book on politics. Politics is in everything. It's even in the job itself. If you go to a plumber shop, if you go to a mechanic shop, politics is alive and well. And I'm not meaning Republican, Democrat politics. I mean people stabbing each other in the back, trying to make themselves look better in front of the boss, people trying to position themselves. It's even in marriage. It's in child rearing. Politics is in life. And you cannot shed that. And the day we really stop believing this facade, this lie that we're not political when we go to work, we're not political in, you know, everything it is that we do. People are ideological creatures. We have cognitive abilities and we constantly move forward within our paradigm, our belief systems and so forth, decisions and outcomes that will favor those biases, period. And so to think otherwise, you have to be an idiot. And that's why the I'll call it the communists, the Platonists, have been so good at penetrating this, because the only people that really believe this are the conservatives. They really, well, okay, these people go in, they're objective, and yeah, okay, yeah, you know, I try to be, because they're moral, and people have this moral consciousness, but they still have these biases, and it still affects them, and they go, well, I'm not going to let that affect me. But even that in itself just affected you, because it's taking you out of productivity. You cannot remove politics. So the fact is, we have to actually shift our paradigm, and we have to accept the fact that politics exists, and politics will exist in every facet of our life, whether it be at work, and whatever that work is, we will have to align towards understanding, not necessarily towards the politics themselves, but we have to at least understand and start ensuring that there is an equal representation in politics at work. That's why I truly believe that when it comes down to, let's say, the FBI, when it comes down to a particular type of work in the state, and let's just, you know, because a lot of the stuff that's going on in D.C., it's all unconstitutional, and it's all built upon, it's a house of cards. It's all built on this big deceit and lie that they can do these things. So let's go look at the states, and let's basically say, because, you know, states can have the power to create their own healthcare and welfare system and so forth. They can establish their own church and religion if they want to. And so let's look at the state and how the state, because if you look throughout the state, the DMV, you look at throughout those people who are employees at your state level, whether that be a service or what have you, there's probably a high likelihood that the majority of the people that are working for the state are of a very political mindset. And what political mindset do you think they are? Now, I will ask you, is that employee and is that state in bed with, or do they have a good relationship or a supportive relationship with the unions, the labor unions? In other words, are government employees in your state mandatory union? Then I'm going to tell you that you have already injected steroids in politics in your employee workforce within state government jobs. Why? Because the union itself is already taking money from you to ensure that they're supporting a very political bias in the election process and very political outcomes outside of those people that they get in office. So you can't tell me that we have this, I mean, conservatives and those who do not look at it in this paradigm, we're being duped, we're being fooled, and we're being taken advantage of, and we're being taken to the cleaners. There needs to be a process to ensure that there is duplicate, or I should say, duality or equality of representations of bias. I truly believe that when you start cleaning up government, ensure that you have, you know, constitutional conservatives that are hired into these positions. I really don't care what they're qualified, if they don't have the social engineering qualifications. I will tell you that most of the government work, and not to besmirch government employees, but most of it doesn't necessarily require degrees, you know, to the level of a doctor, to, you know, degrees to a point. And so we should easily be able to find enough people to ensure that state governments are no longer biased in one direction or the other. That's why you find that the more, as a matter of fact, here's a great case in point. Go look at Virginia, the state of Virginia, and go look at Maryland. Now, Maryland is almost encompassed by Washington, D.C. The majority of the population is there in Baltimore and so forth. But Virginia is a little bit different because it's a much bigger state. And go look at the map of how people vote by counties, you know, the red county, blue county thing. And you tell me, why is it that way up in the D.C. area and that surrounding area of all those people that you know are either government employees or people that are lobbyists and people that are supporting big government and communism and those types of great things, why is it that the counties where those people who work in that area is so blue? Well, I guess we're just stupid because they're going to work and not being biased, right? No. Things got to change, folks. We have to start accepting the fact that people are political. People are being hired into these positions and we have no filtering process of ensuring. I mean, if you want equality, the best equality will come when you start ensuring political equality within government employees. It's not about gender. It's not about race. It's not about anything like that. It's about political opportunity and political equality when it comes to government employees. So that's why you cannot be shocked when you see so many people. And that's why I've been telling you, it's not just the DOJ. It is every single institution and every single bureaucracy within government. They know they're violating the Constitution. If not, they just haven't been listening to this show. And maybe, you know, with your help, you can help enlighten them so that they don't have to listen to this show. They can get the podcast. I will tell you that there is nobody out there that is making these types of bold assertions. And why is it? Because I'm not out here to build friendships. I'm out here to save our Constitution. I will tell you that the framers had to set aside their differences, and they had respect for each other because these guys were great professionals. They did great work at what they did. However, they had real differences in economic perspectives, in religious perspectives, and so forth. So they had to set aside their differences to work together. And they had to humble themselves, as I was just saying today, they had to humble themselves so that they could receive the direction they needed to instill and create a government where liberty, and when I mean liberty, I mean a person has free agency and they're also held responsible and accountable for their decisions or their actions from free agency. We live in a society that is based upon enlightenment that took hundreds, almost 1,000 years to move forward to be able to create this type of society. And so you cannot tell me that the biases didn't exist back then, but those men were able to set aside their differences so that they could create a system that was pure without the filter lenses of those biases. And they created a system where we could thrive independently. As you can tell, I'm at a hard break. And so I will be right back. And I promised you we'd get into the Pennsylvania ratification debate. So we'll be right back after a word from our sponsors. Thank you so much. It's that time of year to get that dental checkup and cleaning. I know many of us are creatures of habit, and we tend to settle for what we know, and many of us are procrastinators. I was that way myself with my past dentist, jumping from one dentist chair to the next. From all the hopping, I've learned that all dentists are not equal, and I would challenge you to consider checking out Dr. Von Tracy. I work hard to make a living, and I'm not one to throw my hard-earned money away on just a good dentist. That's why it took me a couple of years to find a great dentist. From the excellence of his staff to the quality of the work, Dr. Tracy is the difference. I know it's time to put standards to our loyalty, so I would ask you to give Dr. Tracy a try by setting up your next appointment with him. Just go to VONTRACYDDS.com or call them at 509-466-6614. Again, sign up at VONTRACYDDS.com. Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcast and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Moby Strip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Moby Strip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255. And so before I get into the Pennsylvania ratification debates, because I know you're all probably waiting with bated breath, okay, this is going to be the last one, because it really is the last one that gives us some real meat. And then I'm going to be forced to go to the DHRC, which is the Documentation History of the Ratification of the Constitution, which was done by the University of Wisconsin. And so that's pretty painful, because if you don't have those volumes, and as I said, if you want to bequeath me those volumes, that'd be great, because then I could just, you know, parse through all of that information and make it easier for you. But before I get into that, there is a paradox of ideologies, and I want to show and I want to prove to you how important and how insightful it was for Adam Weishaupt to institute, and I don't believe that he received the divine hand of providence in creating a system that was designed to actually take over the world, because it was the great deceiver who inspired him, or basically gave him the roadmap of what we needed to do by pointing back to Plato and how to translate that to our time with society way back in 1776. And so the paradox of ideologies is the fact that here we are a nation that, one, at that point in time was in, you know, entrenched in slavery in some of the states, but the abolition movement was coming forward, and how we as a nation, the majority of the people that were Americans embraced individual liberty and individual sovereignty. And we were moving away from slavery, and it took us almost a century to get to the point where we were willing to fight and die to ensure that all people were free, okay? So all of a sudden, we win the Civil War, we end slavery, we fight around the world, spending millions of dollars stopping slavery around the world, and we were the instrumental nation in doing that. Britain helped as well, but it was our founding documents and it was our paradigm that ended slavery around the world as much as it has ever been. And all of a sudden, it starts becoming this ideological concept of moving us back towards slavery. Because in my book, I have this scale of liberty, and on one end of this scale, it's pure white, and that represents liberty, where there are no chains, no enslavements. You are completely free to do whatever you want to do, and you will be fully held responsible and accountable for whatever it is you do. If you harm somebody or what have you, you'll be responsible and accountable. If you are successful and you bless people and you help people, then you will receive the rewards of that. On the opposite end of the scale is black. It is pure enslavement. You have no free agency. You will be held to the specific behaviors, and you will be held to the specific standards of slavery, period. And so here we fought this war of slavery, ending it, and now all of a sudden this ideological concept, which was already pouring out of Europe, started getting embraced. And as a matter of fact, I point out in my book, there was a guy by the name of George Fitzhugh, who was a communist, who basically said all people should be slaves, because bottom line, it is the affluent people that know better. And that is the whole concept of communism. The state knows better than the individual. And so this concept of slavery as it is perpetuated to the people, well, most people, oh yeah. As a matter of fact, I know communists, I know statists, people that really believe that the state knows better. However, they themselves do not want to be enslaved. They know that they should be able to make their own decisions. So when it comes to them, they don't want to be the slave, but they believe everybody else should be slaves. And that is, I believe, a systemic problem on the communist side, because they all want everybody to be enslaved except for them. They want to be able to say what they want to say, but they don't want you to say, because that could cause problems. That could cause a real problem in society. And so I find it interesting how we, in the very beginning, as I was saying, the majority of the people embraced liberty. And today we have slid on this scale to where the majority of the people today, look at these idiots coming out of school that want to throw away our gun rights and our liberty. What's that guy's name? Hogg or whatever. And all these other kids that are saying, we don't need guns. We don't want guns. These idiots do not understand liberty and the responsibilities that come with that, that we have to defend ourselves from government. We have to defend ourselves from tyranny. And so how did this happen? How did we slide down the scale? And that's why understanding Platonism and understanding what Weisenhop put in motion with his charter for the Illuminati, using the education system, they would move the society in the direction they needed to. And you cannot tell me that having the influence in education, the media, entertainment, and everything else, they have been stupendously successful in moving these future generations into these communist paradigms to where kids are just looking forward to surrendering their liberty. As soon as they can vote, they're going to vote for getting rid of guns and getting rid of the ability to say anything you want. They're going to, you know, enforce all of they want us to be slaves. These kids have literally been indoctrinated, inculcated, and brainwashed into believing in slavery. And so I can tell you that this devious plan has been applied several times throughout history, and the fingerprint of this is only of one, and without getting religious on you, this comes to Lucifer. This comes to Satan, because Satan wants to enslave the inhabitants of Earth, and that's period. That's exactly what he's wanted to do. So let's jump into the Pennsylvania ratification debate. So I only got 3 minutes, so I'm going to give you a highlight. Pennsylvania was another state that was the who's who of the Constitution. What is interesting is they were the first to begin their ratification convention. And they were the first, November 20th was when they kicked it off. And they were one of the first that actually ratified, but they actually debated. The interesting thing, though, that I want to point out is that when they were discussing the ratification, there seemed to have been more concern over the seat of government, and they were insulted with the fact that it wasn't a slam dunk that Pennsylvania wasn't the seat of government. And so they felt insulted with the fact that there was this unfound 10 nautical miles by 10 nautical miles. They go, well, why not here? Because that's where Independence Hall was. That's where the Declaration of Independence, the Constitutional Convention. I mean, it was the cradle of this republic, Pennsylvania. It was the keystone state, right? And so it seemed like there was a lot of insults, or I should say a lot of people's egos were bruised with the fact that Pennsylvania was not going to become the seat of government. And I don't think that maybe all of them understood that that would be no longer Pennsylvania, that that seat of government, that 10 nautical miles square, would then become exclusive legislative and everything for the federal government. Remember, when the federal government passes a law like the Civil Rights Act, that Civil Rights Act is not a constitutional law. It's not something that can be applied to the states. It can only be applied to the Washington, D.C. legislative, where they have full legislative control, like the Constitution says. So anyway, let me go through this list of names. There was George Clymer, Thomas Fitzsimmons, this guy by the name of Benjamin Franklin, Jared Ingersoll, Thomas Mifflin, Governor Morris, Robert Morris, and James Wilson. This is another list of who's who. And here's another state that actually sent their governor. And so you cannot tell me that these men did not know what was going on. When you hear people make claims that the first Constitutional Convention was a runaway convention, that these guys didn't know, I will tell you, go read Federalist Paper number 40. James Madison basically, defends everything that they did. He actually proves that they were not doing anything outside of their purview or what those things that they were supposed to do. They were facing real trials because they were losing the Confederacy, and they had to do something. And so this Constitution was truly the solution. And so I know that I'm almost out of time. So we're going to be saying goodbye to those who are listening on the telestial radio waves. And after the music, I will get into these Pennsylvania ratification debates as far as what we're going to do tomorrow. So God bless for those on the terrestrial waves, and we'll hear you, or you'll join us back again tomorrow. Thank you so much. And so what we're going to do tomorrow, I will tell you that we're going to do very similar things. I'm going to actually pull in the citations on enumerations, jurisdiction, and powers, and the clauses, so that I can give you some highlights of what Pennsylvania felt was imperative that they discuss and work through before they ratified the Constitution. And I will tell you again that you will, these men and their paradigm back then was a lot different than us today. And so that's why I constantly point to Virginia as the real gold standard. With that, I'm out of time. I'm G.R. Mobley. I am Reclaiming the Republic with your help, and we will be back tomorrow with some more ratification debates. Thank you so much.